The other day, the Lord gave me a word to share as I was called to minister, and I want to share that word with you, and I hope it encourages your heart. The title of this message was, God Knows That You're Tired. Hope you enjoy. What's up? This is Dominic Bomonte, and you are listening to Season with Saul, the podcast. Before I get going, I feel it necessary to pause and say thank you for listening to Season with Saul, the podcast. I recognize that you don't have to listen to my podcast, and I'm very much grateful for the fact that people take the time to hear what I have to say. I will note that I have a podcast, not necessarily because I expect people to listen, but because I want to be obedient to what God told me to do. And the result of obedience is beyond comprehension. And I'm thankful to God for the privilege to, you know, have a podcast. I come in contact with a lot of people and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a podcast. I'm going to start a podcast. And it's hard to start something new or different. So I want to encourage you, if God said do it, and don't worry what other people think. Okay? Y'all. So, something like this month has been crazy. This month has been crazy. It's August of 2023. And it's like 1 year anniversary of God, like really doing something for my ministry where I had got done preaching somewhere and the Lord knocked me out on the altar and was like, listen, you better do what I tell you to do. You better be obedient to what I ask for you to do. And I just am really humbled that he wants to use me because preaching is not easy. It requires a separated life. It can be lonely. Like, it can be difficult. Like, people's expectations of you are higher for you than they are for themselves, and you learn to navigate your own life based on like what other people's expectations are of you. And the Bible sort of backs that up in a lot of different ways, but that's not what this podcast is about, or this episode rather. But I'm grateful to God for the grace that he extends me to preach, because I hadn't deserved to be a carrier of the gospel. Like, he anointed me to be that. And I recognize that and I take that serious. So I thank you for listening, but I thank God for the grace that he has given me to do so, what I'm doing. Now, y'all, so I'm, you know, God has just really like opened up these opportunities for me to minister. And quite frankly, like, it's a little bit much. Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, I hate to say that I'm not complaining because I'm grateful for opportunity, but I haven't gotten in a rhythm to, like, you know, I'm like one of those people that, like I'd be preaching on my podcast. I'd be trying to think about, like, messages and stuff that I'd say, but, like, I don't have, like, a rhythm to, like, preach more than, like, you know, once a month, maybe. Like, it's like, nah, I'm not, like, TDJ in it. Like, it's gonna be rare, right? But this month, like, alone, like, I preached like multiple times. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that to say I don't have a rhythm, so I don't know how to prepare. And so I just been like, okay, Lord, whatever. Like, just you lead me. Like, I don't know how to study like for all this. I just want you to speak. So I woke up in the morning, had to preach tonight. I woke up in the morning and I was like, okay, Lord, what you want me to say? I was kind of meditating on this story in the Bible, but I hadn't really put my finger on like what the Lord wanted me to say, but I started kind of studying and looking at different nuances and looking at it from different perspectives. And I started looking up words and cross-referencing scriptures and all this kind of stuff. So I'm doing all of this, and I read this story in the Bible that's like way familiar, right? Where people often say Jesus fed the 5,000. So I'm thinking about, you know, Jesus, this is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. And Jesus is getting ready. He essentially, let me see what's the best way to say this. Jesus feeds the 5,000, but he doesn't really feed the 5,000 because the disciples feed the 5,000. Jesus, it's the disciples' idea to like send the people home after they had had pretty much church for like all day in the desert. And the disciples were like, well, let's send these people home. So Jesus is like, nah, let's feed them before they go, right? And the disciples are like, we don't have any food. And Jesus is like, well, what do you have? And they're like, we got two fish and a couple loaves of bread. And Jesus blessed it and broke it and they distributed it. And I was like, oh gosh, this is a story that people always preach. It's a narrative that people always walk through. And it occurred to me that there's another way to view this story, because if you read the entire chapter, I'm looking at it from the Gospel of Mark. If you read the entire Gospel of Mark, the chapter 6, you see that there's a narrative that's built into this story that really you can't understand Jesus's engagement with the 5,000 without understanding how we get there. So let me tell you in a nutshell very quickly how this happens. Jesus tells the disciples in Mark the 6th chapter, I want you to go out two by two and I want you to evangelize the world. And the disciples go out to evangelize the world. And they come back. Now, much has happened. John the Baptist has died. They put his head in the charger. I mean, it's a mess. A lot has happened. And the Bible says that the disciples come back and they're telling Jesus, like, this is what we did. Jesus recognizes that the disciples are tired. And he says, let's go somewhere quiet where you guys can get some rest. While he is getting ready to take them to a quiet place for rest, somebody recognizes that Jesus is Jesus. And the Bible says that before they get to the place of rest, the people who want to be healed are already there when they get there. And Jesus has compassion on them because the Bible says that Jesus recognized that they were sheep without a shepherd. And so he essentially runs this revival in the desert. Now the disciples are already tired, right? They are already like, hurry up. I'm speaking in my own terminology. The disciples are like, let's get this moving. So the disciples, they're already tired. They're supposed to be, I'm going to say they're on vacation. They're supposed to be on vacation, and Jesus decides to have church on vacation. Jesus is like, okay, I guess he had got done. So the disciples are like, tell us what, Jesus, let's do this. Let's send the people home, and let's send them to get something to eat because it's hot, we're in the desert, and everybody's hungry. And Jesus is like, nah. Let's feed them. So Jesus doesn't get the fish, doesn't get the loaf. The disciples go and find it. And then all Jesus does is bless it and break it. Then he tells the disciples, I want you to take these 5,000 people and I want you to break them in companies of 50. So these already tired disciples who have already withstood the desert heat, preaching the gospel, they're tired, they're drained, their vacation is interrupted. Here they are dividing all these people into companies of 50 and then feeding them loaves of bread. And like, these people are tired. So finally Jesus is like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do, disciples. Y'all go get on the ship and I'll close the service out. So Jesus closes the service out and then goes up somewhere to pray. Meanwhile, the disciples are on the ship. Read, here's a scripture that like that really got me to like thinking very deeply about this experience of the disciples. Mark the 6th chapter in the 52 verse says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. Well, how did we get here? How did their hearts get hardened? Their hearts got hardened because they were tired, because they had gone through all these things where they were essentially the middlemen between Satan and Jesus. And they dragged these people from the pit of hell. They prayed them through. They told them to repent. They healed them of their sicknesses. They did everything that Jesus told them to do, and they were tired. And even though they were the conduit to these miracles, even though they distributed this miraculous meal to 5,000 people, they were so tired that their hearts were hardened. They needed rest. They were hungry. They were tired. They were just... And after all that, this wild, long, like, just crazy day, they find themselves on a boat in the middle of a storm. And it's crazy, right? Like, you have to put yourself in the position of these disciples. Like, why in the world? Like, Jesus, come on. Like, all of us have had difficult seasons in our life where we're like, where is Jesus? And I'm sure these disciples were like, now listen, you said you was going to give us rest. You said we was going to go on vacation. We said you were going to get away from all these people. And now you're gone and we're stuck in them. And the Bible says that the storm comes and they're like, we see a ghost. And Jesus walks on the water and comes to them and speaks to them. And that's when this thing really hit me. Because I begin to really personalize what I believe Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. So the feeding of the 5,000 was not for the disciples. It was for the 5,000. Jesus wanted to teach disciples something about giving and teaching and leading and shepherding. But it was a lesson for them to learn, but it was not their miracle. Some of us are like Jesus wants us to know that he is just as invested in our miracle and our finally and it shall come to pass as he is in other people. And sometimes you feel like you do the work for God and he ignores that what your labor is. And God creates a miracle. God creates a miracle that is especially for the disciples in the middle of a storm where he comes to them. He comes to their rescue when they need them the most. And the Bible says they were so astonished that they didn't even like that. It was such a profound and amazing miracle that they couldn't even connect it to what had happened with the 5,000 because their hearts were hardened. And that's what God does for us. He knows that we're tired. He knows that we're drained. He knows that we are overworked. He knows that we're overwhelmed. He knows that we've gone through things that have just essentially like driven us nuts. He knows that our kids are crazy. He knows that our spouses are wild. He knows that our job drives us nuts. Like, he knows all this stuff. And in the midst of us helping other people, pushing other people, praying for other people, pushing them across the finish line, hoping and wishing and preaching and teaching and doing all this stuff, God has a miracle that is specifically to remind us how much that he loves us. And I don't know about you, but when God really began to reveal this thing to me, that he cares so much about me, that he understands when I'm tired, and that he intervenes and has a miracle that is specifically designed to acknowledge that I'm going through something difficult, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I was like, thank you, Jesus, because sometimes you need to know that somebody cares for you. I'm going to say this. Sometimes I'd be over talking about my job and about my work life on this podcast. So if folks listen to it, they listen to it. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So nothing that nobody can take away from me. But I have been in a situation where God had allowed me to, I'm not going to go into what he allowed me to do, but at the end of the day, like, I have been, how do I tell this story without telling all my business? Essentially, I got a new boss, let's say that, and the boss was, like, meeting with everybody, you know, and talking to them, and, like, folks were, like, saying, oh, yeah, you know, I met Johnny, and me and Johnny, or Johnny, whoever you want to call him. Or them, him, or her. That person, we talked about my life and like what I cared about and what I was passionate about. And I realized that like my interactions with that person were a lot different because of the role that I was playing, right? Like there was a lot more like transactional interactions or the transfer of information and not a lot of personal interaction. And I started to feel some kind of way, like, you know, like I'm a person too. Like I want to be learned as a person. I don't just want to be a person that like is in the middle of some transaction or like important to the bottom line. Like I want to be heard and seen and valued. And I have already been in this system where I have not experienced that already. So like getting off to a bad start where people are like depending on you for things, but in the process, not acknowledging your personhood, like what you care about, what you're passionate about, what you're going through, what you want to get out of your own experience. And so I'd asked some of my friends, some of my prayer warrior friends, I said, listen, I need direction. I need to know what God wants from me. Because first of all, there's to an extent, I don't expect people at work or in the community to affirm like who I am and what I'm called to do. I know that that affirmation and that reward has to come from Jesus Christ. But sometimes it feels good to know that somebody cares about what you are going through and what you're experiencing. And so I had told my prayer partners, I was like, listen, I need God to like know that I'm tired. Like I am tired. Like I am drained, I am overwhelmed, I'm underwhelmed, like I'm all these different things. And I feel like I'm continuously in these systems where the only thing that matters is my output or my contribution. So I told my prayer partners, I was like, pray for this. I want you guys to just call my name in prayer. The same day, I got a call from someone and they were like, you know what? I recognize that in our interactions, we've never really had a conversation about what is important to you. And I knew that that was God saying, Dominique, I know that you are tired. I know that this experience has drained you and drove you nuts. I know that you feel unseen and unheard. And I want you to know that my love for you, I'm going to ensure that you don't continue to feel that way. And that's what I felt the disciples experienced when Jesus came to them. When I preached this message, I talked about the scripture in the Bible that says, come unto me, you know, I think it's in Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, blah, blah, blah. I talked about that scripture. And as I was reading that scripture, it was not on my paper or anything. As I was reading that scripture, Jesus said, Dominique, not only can you come unto me, but I will come to you. Because everybody always talks about like meeting somebody halfway. And I want to tell you that you don't have to worry about trying to meet Jesus halfway. In fact, you might not have the strength to come to him. And the disciples didn't have the strength to come to him. He came to them because he knew they were tired. And if you are tired, if you are drained, you have a God that cares. And that's it. If you are tired and you are drained, you have a God that cares. And he is not ignorant of the way that you feel. He is not throwing a blind eye to your tiredness. He cares. He cares. In fact, he's intensely invested in you having strength and not being weary and well-doing. And you got to believe that. And he will walk on water for you to prove that he cares. And I'm proof of that. I'm living in that experience. And I'm trusting God for that to be true, but I also have experienced it before. And sometimes your heart, just like these disciples, gets hardened because you're tired. But God will soften your heart with the reminder that he will do anything for you. And just like he will use you to bless other people, he will also bless you directly. And that's the word of the Lord. Season with soul. We
whistle. Season whistle. Whistle.